That kind of nerd. Let's start the show with comics, movies, and technology. Here we go, bringing you the segments that you're looking for, like Cape Talk, Screen to Stream, Tech Perspective, and more. Cast This Nerd Degree and the Blockbuster. Welcome to the club, because you're that kind of nerd.
Everyone be nice and close to your microphone.
You be nice and close to your microphone. Fucking stop directing generic messages, because they're meant for me.
This one was tied a little bit more to Brian, so this way I could get the washer sound out.
I'm gonna move it right here.
That's fine by me. I don't need to see the face.
Put it
I know
right
what you look
in
like
front of my friggin' face.
That's okay. Welcome everyone to That Kind of Nerds podcast, a show that tells you what is going on in the nerdy world. I am CJ Mellon, joined by Joshua Burns and Brian Thornton.
What up? Is this close enough?
Yeah, that's good. We got a good ASMR
style. Is this good?
It's too close.
I'll hold it like this the entire time. Like, you want a little? Is this good for you?
You can move back just a little bit.
I'm averting my eyes. I'm averting my eyes.
My forehead is literally touching the ring.
Well, that's not good.
I'm just saying. You said get close to the mic. I'm close. Is this good enough for you?
Coming from his palatial estate, Brian is working still in the echoey room, but also it sounds like that the people who haven't paid their Blockbuster dues are getting whipped. Please ignore them. Their suffering will not happen. So let's just jump right into this. We got a couple things that we want to talk about, a lot of trailers to go on, and then we want to definitely talk about WandaVision. The first two episodes have dropped on Disney Plus, so stay tuned so we can have some spoilery discussion about WandaVision. But first, want to start off with a huge announcement. Netflix just came out swinging. They dropped a trailer for something they called their Red Notice, letting the world know that Netflix will be releasing a new movie every week for the year of 2021. Insane schedule. And I'm looking at some of these movies too, and some of them were supposed to be out in theaters.
Why is that an insane schedule? So 52 movies.
Yeah, a new movie every week's kind of, you know, that's a lot. That's, you know,
this isn't like,
especially
a lifetime,
like, the number of
level of caliber.
Right, the number of noteworthy movies that are in there.
Well, but my question is, are they all produced by Netflix?
No, because you can tell some of these were actually supposed to be in theaters.
Not that big a deal. It's just a bunch of movies that Netflix acquired that they're just going to release on their platform.
Oh, well, I don't see
it's not like they're paying to shoot all 52 of these films.
I don't see the need to split hairs. You know what I mean? Like, whether they're Netflix original or whether Netflix acquired them or is broadcasting them for the first time. Like, HBO Max isn't talking about 52 movies.
No, they're just talking about every single one of their 2020 releases coming out in 2021 on HBO Max.
Right. And Disney Plus isn't, and Amazon Prime isn't, Prime Video, sorry. Nobody else is saying we're dropping a movie every week.
Right. Now, some of these are for non-English languages or not available globally, but a majority of them are. There's a couple of things in here, too, which I know some people have some thoughts and feelings. For example, Brian, I know you have big thoughts on Thunder Force, and I think that's going to be the word "nope" repeated over and over again.
You're going to have to refresh my memory on
the Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer movie.
Yeah, fuck that.
Well, while I am very excited for Tick, Tick, Boom, which is being helmed by Lin-Manuel Miranda, but it's Jonathan Larson's play besides Rent. And then, Josh, did you have anything on there that really kind of stood out to you?
Yeah, there's the one with The Rock and Ryan Reynolds in it.
Yeah, I don't even know what the name of that
is. And Gal Gadot. It's called Red Notice.
Is that the one called Red Notice?
Now, that's what's called Red Notice. Well, there we go. See, I was confused.
I was going to say. Kind
of, you buried the lead with calling this whole thing.
He called
the whole rollout Red Notice.
The way the one article was worded made it sound like this was Red Notice.
I'm faulting your poor publishing for their poor
1000% my fault. No, I can definitely own this. There's also Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
I don't.
Army of the Dead has some fanfare. A Winter's Tale from Shaun the Sheep. I don't even know what that is, but like it's
Shaun the Sheep. It's from the makers of Wallace and Gromit. It's
right. So I mean that was pretty popular, no?
Well, there's been two other movies, so you should probably see those because
I'm not going to. I'm just saying I think that'll get some watch.
There's a Jason Momoa movie in there. The one that struck me that I had no idea was even coming was Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence together in a movie.
Yeah, it looks like a midlife crisis drama movie. Honestly,
really?
I mean, to me, they showed one scene.
Likely.
I'm just judging a book by its really 30-second cover.
I think 30 seconds is too generous. That's called Don't Look Up.
It's like a 3-second. Don't Look Up. Okay, so it's about planes. He's going through a midlife crisis. Well, I mean, yeah, I know. That's why I'm
getting that. You're basing that off of Up in the Air.
It is Lost in Translation, but with Leonardo DiCaprio on planes. Done. And I already don't want to see it. And I love Leo. And I love Jennifer Lawrence. But probably not my cup of tea.
The Harder They Fall was directed by Regina King, right?
Yes.
And that's her directorial debut. And that's it's a Western, I think, isn't it?
It looks like it.
I'm interested in Westerns.
So, I mean, like, there's going to be some stuff on here that's good. Like, there's some, I tell you what, there are some titles that make me want to know what these movies are. I want to know what Bad Trip is. I want to know what Beckett is, what Bruised is, what Concrete Cowboy is. I don't want to know what Double Dad is.
Double Dad?
There are three untitled movies. One of them, it sounds like it. This is what it's listed as: untitled Alicia Keys rom-com.
No thanks.
Sure.
I don't know how to feel about that. I don't think she's ever headlined a movie. I don't think she's carried a movie. I could be wrong. And I don't know if that's directing, if she's directing that movie, or if she's starring in the movie, or if she's doing both. I don't know what it is. It just says untitled Alicia Keys rom-com. So there's some stuff in here, but
Outside the Wire has Anthony Mackie. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah. So there's some stuff in here that has a lot of potential, Brian, that I think means more that they're going to be releasing a movie every single week than just, hey, we have 52 movies.
Outside the Wire dropped as we're recording, by the way. That's available for all listeners. That's available today.
There you go, listeners. Go watch some Netflix movies. I think this is a bigger deal than Brian is tempering this in the sense of, obviously, movie theaters are sort of kind of reopening. The AMC near me is open today. Like, I went and drove past it and there were people walking in probably with their popcorn buckets. Curse you, AMC, who are going to the movies. But most people are going to be watching them from home.
It's OK. They're going to redeem it through 2021.
We'll see if I redeem it in 2021.
Well, then that's on you and it's not the bucket's fault.
We're not litigating the bucket right now. This is not the time for the bucket's defense.
You can't tell me when and where to represent my client.
Well, so I think that this is a pretty big deal. I think this is Netflix really standing up. And I also think, again, they're buying a few movies that were supposed to be wide release and taking it away from the movie theater industry and putting it into the Netflix machine. And let's see what kind of happens with that.
Yeah, let's see it go blip and then disappear.
Well, that's the other part, too. We've had very mixed feelings about Netflix movies, but I'm not as sour as you are on this right now. So apparently Brian's selling his Netflix stock while, you know, Josh and I are thinking that maybe we'll hold on to it for a little bit.
Netflix,
see what actually happens.
I don't have Netflix stock. I'm not upset by it. I'm just saying that, like, there's so much shit on there to begin with. I miss all sorts of stuff that I'm like, oh, I want to see that. And then it goes away forever. And the menu to find shit is the worst anymore. God forbid I want to watch something.
I think what needs to happen is we need to replace the Blockbuster segment with what's leaving and coming on streaming services this month. I feel like
oh, there you go. All right.
That would be a public service and also one that might stop Brian from fuming.
That seems like extra work for me.
I think it's probably one article that you can just plagiarize. Yeah, I mean, paraphrase.
We cite it. I put it in the show notes.
That's true. We do give attribution. I'll say this. I don't often go to Netflix because it is kind of overwhelming. The time that I spend just flipping through Netflix, I could already be watching something. But I will also add that in the past couple weeks, I've watched some new stuff on Netflix, and those two things were Lupin, which is the gentleman burglar. That's LUPIN, but in en français. And it's dubbed because it's a French production, but it's so good, so good. It's Brad Pitt from Ocean's 12, right? It's like it's that kind of story.
He's always eating something.
It's the Thomas Crown Affair. It's that kind of story.
It's got a joie de vivre, right?
It's a classic burglar story where he's always a step ahead. It's super well planned. It's excellent. So I watched that, and then I watched the first few episodes of Pretend It's a City, which is the Fran Lebowitz, Martin Scorsese produced sort of one-on-one docu-series. She's like a super New Yorker, and she's hilarious.
There we go. So we'll do that. We'll bring back the blockbuster, switch a little bit for the streaming lifestyle since it's so hard, and hopefully we'll come up with it. I will tell you, Josh, that I watched something which is a perfect segue to our next topic, which is The History of Swear Words with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, I did watch that.
Did you? I haven't watched it.
I did. I watched the whole thing in one night.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's super bingeable. They're 20-minute episodes. And they cover the following swear words: fuck, shit, bitch, dick, pussy, and damn. And when this starts, Nicolas Cage is Nicolas Cage in it. I mean, they hired the right guy, and we're clearly just like, we have an outline. Would you mind? Would you? I mean, what would you like to do in your segment? But it's kind of like a talking head show where he introduces it. They bring on linguistics experts, a woman who used to work for Merriam-Webster, and they bring on comedians and other people's points of view and talk about the whole evolution and history of these swear words. It's super fascinating. Brian, what did you think about it? You watched the entire thing like me. What did you come away with?
I believe I put my review in the chat. I believe I said it was fun, educational. Nicolas Cage is at his most Nicolas Cage-iness. Mm-hmm. And then fun for the whole family.
I don't know about the whole family.
You can put that shit on the poster. If there was a poster.
Which one was your favorite episode? Did you have a favorite one?
I want to say fuck was my favorite episode.
I saw some of that. And I'll say that as a student of the language itself, I think obscenity is fantastic if used properly. It can be so smart. However, if you fuck that up, it's just dumb. Right? So I'm going to watch it.
I liked the episode about bitch. I thought it did a really it gave me a little history on bitch and a different perspective, which I thought was kind of interesting. But they also talked about just kind of what you said, Josh, of like using language the right way and how you can use a word that is highly offensive, but do something with it. Right. And it can be negative, but it also just can highlight, hey, this is how you may use this word. And here's like the intention that it gets to other people. And if you want to sound or get your message across the right way and use that word, you have to use it like this, right? This is a way to make it work. So it actually kind of helps you with that. And this reminded me of the 7 dirty words you can't say on television by George Carlin, and him kind of talking a little bit through some of these words.
God, that was good.
How fuck is such a versatile word. They don't mention George Carlin in the fuck episode, which really made me angry.
Yeah.
But it was very reminiscent of that. So if you are a fan of Carlin's way of viewing swear words and viewing these language, it's a lot of fun to,
as a very young child, it was fascinating.
Absolutely was. All right, the next one I got, this was from a source I was not ready for. Apple TV Plus dropped a trailer for a movie called Cherry, starring none other than Tom Holland, directed by the Russo brothers. It will be, this is weird, in theaters February 26th and then on Apple TV Plus March 12th. This was a strange thing. What did you guys kind of take away from this trailer? Because I'm still kind of piecing it together.
Have either one of you watched The Devil All the Time yet?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay. Did Cherry seem stranger than the devil all the time?
Yes. Yes, it did. The devil all the time was really weird.
It didn't seem that way. And it does seem to me like Tom Holland is great for these roles. So
yeah, he likes these kind of roles.
I'm on it. I'm all about it.
The description of it also wasn't like extremely helpful to know what kind of movie I'm getting.
You got to watch the trailer.
Yeah, it said in an epic odyssey of romance, war, drug addiction, and crime, a young man, Tom Holland, struggles to find his place in the world. Well, who the fuck isn't? But the trailer's great. I kind of came out of
left field. I mean, ironically, Tom Holland probably isn't.
that's very true. What did you get away from it, Brian?
I didn't know I was supposed to take anything away from it. It looks like a good movie with Tom Holland. I don't know what you want me to say, right?
And there's a lot.
This isn't a heist movie. It's not a heist movie.
I'm aware it's not a heist.
It's American Sniper meets Heat meets.
No, it's not.
Meets. I don't think so. Some romantic comedy. I think so.
It's not a romantic comedy at all. I do think it's a story about love and pain and growth.
Between the pines. I just had a recollection that this kind of reminded me a little bit of that. I don't know why, but something about it. Here's the $1 million question for you then, Brian. This is on Apple TV Plus.
I'll probably forget it exists.
I was going to say, do you think you're going to watch this?
I've watched 2 episodes of Central Park on Apple TV Plus. And it's not because it's a shitty service. It's just by the time I get there, I've found something else to watch on another service.
Do you not use your Apple TV?
Not nearly as much as I should. Like the actual box, you mean?
It's like all I use. Yeah.
I have the box hooked up in my bedroom. Like, I use my smart TV, which has the Apple TV Plus app. Like, it's not like it's not there.
But if I was using a different system to navigate, I would never see anything that's on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah, because all my Hulu, my HBO, my
it's all
Amazon
my Watch
Prime
Now.
Is all in my Watch Now list on the Apple TV app.
I don't actually have any of my other apps linked through Apple.
Well, no. I mean, neither do I in the sense of, like, I don't pay for Amazon Prime through Apple.
It sounds like he only has the one Apple TV as well.
So. Yes, that's what I'm getting.
Yes, I only have one Apple TV.
And it's not your daily driver. Your TV is your daily driver.
Yes, my TV is my daily driver.
Gotcha. So that's why you will probably...
Are we done judging me now?
No, it was really just trying to get to the root cause of who broke you. Right.
Who hurt you? Why? Right. And can we fix you? And the answer is no, we can't. The next trailer we had was an Amazon Prime Video exclusive called Bliss. Oh, please. You have the floor with that.
Yeah, no, I have no desire to see this movie. And then I saw Bill Nye in the trailer and I was like, well, shit, now I have to watch this movie.
Exactly. It's going to be Bill Nye shows up once and is like, there's something wrong with the science here.
But I still need to watch it because of that one scene he's going to be in.
I don't know, man. I mean, Owen
because
Wilson,
legitimately, like, the trailer just did not
awful.
Interest me.
No.
At all.
It's got no, like, compelling lead actor.
Don't care what's happening. Don't care about Owen Wilson. Don't care about Salma Hayek or what her story is. I just don't care. Oh, Bill Nye's in this? Oh,
that's what I was
okay.
Like, Bill Nye? That's what I was like, this movie's... Oh, wait a minute. I just got suckered. Stunt casting just got me really hard.
Oh, that's good.
The one thing that I'm now noticing that is a trend that's becoming more terrifying for me, and I think it's going to feed into some other conversations we're going to have tonight, is movies where the lead character has a child, and it turns out that maybe that child isn't real, but they've already had this love and bond with the kid. It's like what got me terrified with the moon episode in Doctor Who. That is now terrifying to me. I'm saying, well, just what if you just woke up one day and your kid wasn't fucking here anymore? Right? You had this life with a kid. There's no kid. Now I'm terrified. So every time I see this now showing up in movies, I feel like I'm about to watch a horror movie and things go wrong. I'm intrigued, but this is definitely Amazon is the least discoverable when it comes to new movies. I'm going to completely forget that this thing exists.
Oh, yeah, most certainly.
So I'll be comforted by that. Josh, you put in a trailer, and I think you shared it with us multiple times, for The Little Thing, starring Denzel Washington and Rami Malek. Malek, yeah. And Jared Leto. that is coming to theaters and also, again, exclusively HBO Max at the end of the month, The Little Things. Tell me a little bit about this movie and what's really intriguing you about it.
Well, it said Denzel, so I went, oh, yes, I will watch that. And then I'm watching the trailer, and I'm like, all right, so this guy spent a career hunting killers, and now there's this new, right, this new guy who's hunting killers and, you know, one sort of a city cop or agent and the other sort of a sheriff out in the skirts kind of guy. And I'm watching the trailer going, wait, is Denzel the killer here? I'm not really sure what's happening, but I'm very interested and I want to see how it plays out. I don't know. I don't have any more, like, it has Denzel, and if it has Denzel in it, I'm gonna give it a watch.
Yeah. I'm thinking now too, that is, three Oscar award winners, right? For like best actor, Denzel, Rami Malek, and Jared Leto. Like,
yeah,
that's some talent happening on the screen. Brian, what did you think about this?
I thought Denzel Washington, Rami Malek, and Jared Leto were in this, and I said, okay,
right,
we're already done. Sold on star power without really.
Well,
really
get, I mean, the movie just kind of snuck in, right? I mean, no, I had never heard anything about it, and I'm like, well, The Little Things. What is that? Oh,
right.
Okay.
As a side note, did anyone notice that Warner Brothers changed their logo? This is dark blue.
Yes.
Like, it's really sleek looking.
Well,
sorry.
Good job, guys who make
logos and graphic designers. How dare
bajillions you? Bajillions of dollars. Fantastic. Good work.
The next trailer I had was titled Our Friend. Starring Jason Segel, and
this
now everything's
fucking depressing.
Oh, yeah, I'm not crying. You're crying.
Yeah, this became a very depressing movie. Anyway, Jason Segel. I'm sorry, Dakota Johnson and
Casey Affleck.
Casey Affleck. Thank you. Which just turns into a super depressing movie very quickly.
Yeah.
That I don't think I can watch right now with everything
it's
going on in my life.
The first 10 minutes of Up.
It is the difference.
In an hour and a half.
Young mom getting kid. I need to write letters to all my children. I'm like, I can't watch this trailer. I have to turn this off.
Dude, I watched the whole trailer. Laura watched it, and she's just like, I don't know. I don't think so. And I'm like, I don't know. Casey Affleck is always good in these roles. And Jason Segel has been surprisingly good in these
roles.
He
is very good, yeah.
Dakota Johnson's generally pretty good, so I don't know, its story seems like, yeah, is it gonna kill you a little bit? Sure, but sometimes you're in the mood for that.
That's the question, like, am I in the mood for a good cry? Because this movie's gonna give it to me,
right?
I don't think I can handle this movie right now, so I'm gonna have to pass on it. I'll come back to it eventually. I'll circle back.
Okay.
Brian, is this a movie night with the wife? Is this something that you would watch?
Not this movie, no.
Where is this releasing?
I was just about to ask you that so I can avoid that app.
Well, this is an indie film. It's set to hit in theaters and on demand on the 22nd. But I don't think we have like an official streaming platform it'll come to. So I don't know. This may just fly completely unnoticed by anybody else. And
it was a 2019 movie, by the way.
Okay. Then got pushed back to this world because of what we're doing. Well, you know, that brings me to the next trailer then, which is called Lockdown. This is where my pronunciation will completely fail me. Starring Anne Hathaway and
Hang on,
Chiwetel.
No, it's Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yeah, never gonna get this guy's name. I love him so much. I'm never gonna get the name. I'm just not made for this. This will be coming on HBO Max. It's actually out right now, which is where I saw the new WB logo. Here's the thing. Really kind of interested in the first half of this movie. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be like Marriage Story, but with like a pandemic factor to it, of like, you can't get away from each other, you're stuck in this relationship and you kind of have to quarantine together.
I was interested in the latter half.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say that shit's the boring stuff.
Right. Then the heist kicked in and
give me the heist.
Like,
I want heist. Heist movie.
The opposite.
Give me. Yeah, well, that's because you're dumb. I don't know what else to tell you.
I'm just a guy who wants to be sad and lonely and not.
Then watch
and
our
not
friend.
Just enjoy a heist.
Yeah,
movie.
Watch yeah, our right, friend. Right.
Watch Our Friend if you want to be sad and lonely. We're going to watch Lockdown.
Our Friend just has cancer in it. I just can't do it with the cancer. I can do it if it didn't have that. If she was dying of, I don't know, a broken heart or something, fine. But
then watch episode 3, okay? Just other than that, like.
So yeah, then it turns into a heist movie, and like I don't know, I'm like
I don't think this. You make it sound like oh my gosh, I got bait and switch. The trailer for the first 30 seconds, for the first like 30 to 45 seconds was like, oh, pandemic life with my ex, blah blah blah, and then like the majority of the trailer
rest of the 2 minutes
is heist. No.
It's a 3 minute trailer, and it spends a minute 20. On the we're stuck in the house together.
I guarantee you.
I don't think so. I don't think it does because within that it highlights how he's unemployed, she's in a high stress job.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's in there. It's all leading up to what they're going to do.
First half hour is that marriage story bullshit that you want. So go ahead and watch the first half hour.
It's a minute eight. You're right. It's a
minute. Turn it off.
No. I'm interested in heist. I just thought I CJ Mellon was not ready for the switch. I'm okay with the switch. I also just like I want to see that first half of the movie play out.
I'm like, please don't let it be awful. Quarantine humor. Please.
No. It's not going to be.
No, not even just like it's not quarantine humor.
No,
CJ
I don't think
wants
that's it
to see a person's marriage completely fall
apart. I
want to
see the relationship dynamic of that due to quarantining. Imagine saying, "I'm breaking up with you, but by the way, we have to stay together for the next month."
No, that's
right. No one's interested
terrible.
In that. I understand that's just a CJ thing. I've made peace with this.
Right.
It's a heist movie. Yay! Be excited about the heist movie. It looks.
I am excited about the heist movie. Before you spoke.
Especially since both these characters have done multiple heist movies.
Right. Yes, they have.
Also, Dule Hill. I don't know how much of it he's going to be in, but.
Very little, but I do not care because Dule Hill.
What heist movie was Chiwetel Ejiofor in?
Takers. And.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen it.
Oh, you got to see Takers. How do you not. How have you not seen Takers?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Takers, The Old Guard. The Old Guard was heisty.
Nah, Old Guard was not heisty.
I don't think the Old Guard was
also
a heisty.
Also, Chiwetel Ejiofor, not. Oh, yeah, no, he was.
Triple Nine was a cop movie, but heisty.
Didn't see Triple Nine.
How are you not watching these movies?
Because I don't know if we define heist movies as the same.
Like, I don't know, man. I think this guy's got a resume, right?
Yeah, he does, and it's great.
Salt, solid in Salt, Triple Nine, obviously Doctor Strange.
Salt right. wasn't a heist movie, though. I asked.
No, it wasn't.
Movies.
It was an espionage action.
Oh, now
movie.
Now we're just saying how great.
Now we're just preaching. Yeah, now we're just preaching his career. We all get it, Josh. We love Mom. All right, don't need to sell us on Mom.
He was also the voice of Scar in Lion King. Can we mention that?
No,
that was trash.
No need to mention that.
He was also Dr. Watson in Sherlock Gnomes.
Oh God! Please stop. Make it stop. So of the trailers and the movies and everything that we're seeing coming out there, is there anyone for you that does stand out? I'm going to start with Brian because you poo-pooed on everything. So Locked Up is the only diamond in the rough for you on this one.
Yeah, Locked Up.
All right. So Brian's excited for Lockdown. Josh, what's on your top?
Lockdown. I thought I said Locked Up. I meant Lockdown.
I
Locked Up's a completely
Sometimes,
different movie.
Sometimes, Brian, we misspeak and it's okay. We don't necessarily have to make a big deal of it. We can just move on.
No, we always need to make a big deal out of it.
There's a ton of movies. Do I have to pick one?
No, you don't have to pick one. But I was curious if there was a standout movie to you that you were like, hey, if you're only gonna fight like Brian and poo-poo on the movies, at least don't poo-poo this one. It's worth it.
I'd say you can have multiple. I'd say our friend probably. I mean, it looked like the best story.
I'm down for Cherry. I think that one's going to be an interesting watch. And I like to see Tom Holland really kind of taking some swings and making some real fun choices in his movie pick. So I'm down for that one. All right. So this is a spoiler warning. If you haven't watched the first two episodes of WandaVision, now
what do you know about this that is going to spoil the first two episodes?
I don't know. But you know how people are, Josh. You know how people are. There is nothing to spoil, but you know how people are.
I figured something out.
Oh, good. Well, then let's talk about WandaVision on Disney Plus. Brian, let's start with some first impressions, and then we can get to what you've discovered. Unless
starting with my first impressions?
Yes, let's start with your first impression.
It was good. I'm excited. I don't know. Like, I listen, these first two episodes were like, oh my gosh. But like,
they're not. No,
they're not. They're not supposed to be. Correct. Like, I don't think they are supposed to be. I think it's very much like little bits here and there, like little bits of the bigger thing. And then I think like episode, how many episodes are there? Eight?
I
10?
Think we said eight.
Six, I think.
No, I don't think it's six. I think they came out and said eight.
IMDb.
So I think by like episode four, the bigger picture is going to become clear. And that's when we're all going to be like, oh my God.
Nine episodes. That is nine episodes.
Yeah. Okay. So I stand by my episode four mark of where the head exploding will happen.
My first impression was these first two episodes are very in the style of the sitcoms that they are representing, that they're imitating. And there is not a lot of peeks behind the curtain, not a lot of hints drops. They are coming across almost like a straight style of show, but you can see that there is something looming and bubbling. There are these little cracks.
Okay,
but
you said first impressions, not like deep analysis.
That was just my first. My first impression was it. If you took an episode of I Love Lucy and put it right after WandaVision, people
maybe
be like, yeah, all right,
maybe Bewitched.
Yeah, Bewitched. Yeah, Bewitched.
The second
episode
was
Bewitched. Definitely.
The first episode was definitely I Love Lucy.
Right. If you take Bewitched and then put WandaVision directly after, people will be like, yeah, that's someone's copying that show. I came across that way for it.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua,
the first step. This was better than I thought it was going to be. And that's my first impression. And what follows is that first episode was Dinner with the Boss.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was Bewitched.
Mm, that was an I Love Lucy episode.
It may have been an I Love Lucy episode, but everything about this show is Bewitched. Everything.
Okay.
Down to the way the husband acts. It's not a Desi Arnaz type thing. Everything about this to me reads as, and I watched a lot of Bewitched.
The second episode I'll give you is Bewitched. That first episode is very much I Love Lucy.
The second,
there's not a lot of magic
the second episode,
really.
The second episode is very much Bewitched, right down from the intro. Mm-hmm. Every time she does a little magic thing, they do that little like sound effect, like that's all Bewitched. That first episode is supposed to be a play on I Love Lucy.
Yeah, I get it. She served dinner by magic, though.
Yeah, I mean,
she's magic.
Some Wanda. Yeah, I mean,
like, it's not Scarlet Witch without some of that.
I read the first one really as the first one was kind of in the 50s. The second episode was kind of in the 70s. It was in the 60s era. It read to me that there's a little bit more progression that way.
Bunch will be next episode.
It also looks like we're getting a different set and different house. At least between these two episodes, this was an entirely different set piece also. So it seems like we're not just like that movie that we've talked about with this. They are jumping around genres and therefore they're allowed to replace whatever the hell they want to besides the people so far. You notice the different house? Is that too much of a...
Well, what movie are you talking about? That's why I'm getting all cockeyed.
What movie?
You said it's just like the movie we were talking about where they're...
Oh, the one with John Ritter where he's in...
Oh, Stay Tuned?
Oh, okay.
Stay Tuned. Yes.
So I don't know that it's a different house. We explore different rooms of the house in each episode.
As soon as you open the front door, they're in a different place.
Are they really?
Yeah,
I didn't
notice
that at all.
When they leave and then they come back in that episode.
It didn't feel that way to me at all. So I have to now go
check where the stairs are.
At the end of the second episode, they leave because of the noise. They see the bee guy, which I don't know what's going on with that guy with the bee and the manhole cover. No idea about that. But when they go back in, Josh, it is a different house.
No, even when they start with the magic trick, when he's practicing the magic trick, the staircase is right there instead of, you know, where the open floor. Yeah.
I didn't get that either.
Completely house.
See, I got to rewatch that.
Go check it out. It's a different house the second time. So they're changing things subtly these first two episodes. You know, they're changing the outfits, they're changing the sets. The only things that are staying the same are the characters so far that we're interacting with, in the sense of the main people, right? Like the boss may change or stuff like that. But this is, it looks like this is very fluid and we're willing to play along with this. And it's clearly, as everyone kind of talked about, clearly a simulation or something, being observed. Now, Brian, you said you had noticed something, picked something up.
I think it's the same thing I noticed. It was the watch, right?
No,
I saw the watch too.
The watch is pretty. No, I know who she's being observed by.
Oh, okay. So we see the bee man, right? We saw this crest of a sword and.
Well, at the end of the first episode, you see that person writing in a notebook. They close a notebook and there's a symbol on it. That symbol is the symbol for an agency in the Marvel Universe called SWORD. Now, in the comic book, the sword has to do with more like extraterrestrial. They're like they primarily deal with like space threats. I don't know if that's what they're going to do here because who knows? They changed the acronym for SHIELD. They'll probably change the acronym from SWORD.
I mean, what was Thanos if not a alien threat, right?
Yeah, true. But I don't think this has to do with Thanos. I think they're observing her for reasons. I think SWORD is going to have to do something to do with multiversal policing.
Okay.
And they're observing her because clearly she has created some sort of extra universe to keep Vision alive.
Pocket universe, right? Something.
If you'd like to call it a pocket universe, sure.
I would like to. I'm much a fan of the fact that this universe has pockets. Oh my god.
Okay, buddy.
And Josh, yes, I picked up two on the Hydra.
Watch, yeah.
Strucker watch.
Thank you, the Strucker. Yeah. Yeah, and then it had the Hydra seal on it too.
Yep.
Well, Baron von Strucker was the person who.
Right.
Experimented on Wanda and her brother in Age of Ultron.
Yeah, and this so the other motif that I noticed in the show is obviously this commercial break that happens in the middle of it.
Yeah, I found that to be funny too.
I don't like what's the other than it's Stark Industries. What was the?
They're gonna get weirder as the episodes go on.
I think
they're gonna get weirder and more awkward. Like even that first episode where they're waiting for the toast to toast. It was a little awkward. It was a little like, okay, this is taking a little bit too long. But like, it's going to get, they're going to get more and more.
I'm quite a bit more intrigued than I thought I would be.
No, I think it's great. I think they're great. I think them doing their like little 1950s couple impersonations is fantastic.
Yeah, she's great. Paul Bettany, he's always fantastic.
Yeah, he's always great too. And Catherine Hahn, who I'm normally not a huge fan of.
Love her. Love, 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 love.
Well, I looked at her. She had that one line. I was like, how is anybody doing this sober? And I'm like, you've always played the same person. And you know what? That's not a problem. You kill it when you play this kind of character.
Kills it.
You crush it. She's basically the same character from Parks and Rec. Like, I love that she is who she is. And she's great.
I swear to God, if you say one more word, I'm charging you $1,200.
Right? Never change. Be the way you are. I definitely think, to Brian's point, I think the commercial break, the commercial interlude, is going to get wackier as we grow into different genres, and then at one point it's just going to get Rick and Morty styled, you know, commercials. It's just going to be a little bit out there. You don't know what the hell is going on. This also again built to my larger fear that we talked about with the other movies, which is at the end of episode two with her being with child. This is going to be the part again. Here's some children. By the way, they may not be real, and that's going to shatter reality. Like the amount of pain and the amount of struggle that she's going to go through just with having children, questioning whether they're real or not. That's enough to break somebody and enough to really kind of crack through. So I am definitely interested to watch that develop. And I looked at my wife during the second episode and said, she's going to be pregnant at the end of this thing. Like, I'm just telling you this is happening. And it was interesting to see that, but now it's one of those fears of mine just coming true on the show. And that,
is it going to be a toddler in the next episode, do you think?
I mean, this is sitcom things. You have a baby and it grows up really damn quick.
No, I get that, but it's not going to be multiple kids, right? It's going to be.
I'm sorry.
The first episode is, you know, the first episode after the pregnancy is a toddler, and then you expand the family.
I don't know. I was thinking maybe twins, considering that her and her brother were twins. Knowing that A runs in families, but also just like the irony of the fact that she would have twins and what that does to you.
So then it becomes the Patty Duke show.
Right. And then that's the other part of things of the sitcoms being outnumbered, struggling with. I mean, you get that regardless with how many kids you have, right? One baby and suddenly everyone's incompetent, right? So, I mean, but I just think since she is a twin, it would be just insult to injury to have her have twins as well. And then take him away. But unfortunately, that's my theory, that they're going to take away these twins. They're going to question her reality for it. That's my theory. Does anyone else have a theory? Brian, you said she's being watched by Sword. Do you have anything else by on that?
I don't want to speculate just yet. I don't have enough empirical data.
That's fine. I'm willing to shoot off the hip and be completely wrong. And then say I wasn't wrong and not be sorry about it, as is tradition. But I
for
think
the family.
For the children.
Yes.
For the children, which was my trigger. I like, again, I think we all agree, we like what we're doing with the show. I like that they're not just jumping headfirst into wackiness, and this is going to be a little bit of a slow burn, I think. This is week to week, right?
I like, it's better fracking me. I just like the way it's filmed. And I'm the film nerd in me is going to come out a little bit. Like, I like the fact that the aspect ratio is set up for
4:3. Yep.
4:3. I like that when she starts seeing that something is wrong, legit, like the camera changes. Like the way the camera is moving around the scene shifts when she starts realizing that something else is going on. And then it just goes back to the standard 1960s long shot, like sitcom style.
I thought the same thing, going wide while they're at the dinner table. Then once he starts choking, we're going tight and we're going at an angle that we're at the dinner table or going right close up on her. And we're breaking the normal camera themes that we would see in sitcoms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where those moments really pop and really stand out. And
yeah. I thought it was really cool. So yeah, I'm very impressed and I'm very interested in what's going to go on in the future.
The other thing I noticed too is after the episode ends, the credits are longer. Yeah. The director and the writer write their long, and then there's like 7 more minutes, and you're thinking like there's something after. There's not. It's all the VFX, all the additional voices, and every different language. So if you're looking at this going, there's a stinger, there's not, and I don't think there's going to be.
And I still watch all the way to the end.
I scrub at a very slow speed just to make sure I'm not missing anything, but nope, I'm just hearing all the different voice actors and everything that are coming on there. So, I mean, as we saw some other trailers, things will start getting weirder. Things will start devolving, and this idea and this framing that they're setting up of just being another sitcom, it's going to start to show some cracks, and I'm there for the ride. I think it's going to be great. This is week to week, Brian. This is just the first time that they're just doing 2 episodes back to back. The next one's coming out on the 22nd and the 29th and all the way to March. So March 5th is the last episode, according to IMDb. So we'll see what happens.
I love / hate this week by week release schedule. Like, I love it because, like, you know, like with Mandalorian, like, made me appreciate TV again. Be like, mm-hmm. Oh, I can't wait for the next episode of Mando. Like, I can't wait for the next episode of WandaVision. But I also hate it because I can't just watch it all.
Right, just give it to me now.
Like, I just want to know. I want to know everything.
It's very much of when my children get older and it's time to watch the Avenger movies. When they get to Infinity War, they're going to have to wait for Endgame. You're not jumping right into Endgame. I had to suffer the year. You're going to have to wait a little bit before you get the Endgame resolution. I'm not just letting you jump right into it. I feel like WandaVision is going to be a nice journey for us watching it week to week, and those who are going to binge it are just going to get a slightly different experience. Josh, I think you're a school of give me now week to week.
Right now.
Yep. Well, this is America, and I want to know.
Yeah, but like I've learned that then we're all talking about it for a weekend, and then it disappears because then the next binge thing is coming out. Like, this is making me think about WandaVision for the next 3.5 months. You know, like...
Well, and giving them time to not... Because you know that she has a tie-in with Doctor Strange, the next movie, and you know this is going to answer some questions because this is the first piece of Marvel content that is post-snap, right? This is the first piece of...
Technically, Far From Home was post-snap.
It was made... Right. It was released before Endgame. Right?
No, it wasn't.
No, it was after because then they dealt
the
with
story
the whole...
takes place after Endgame.
Yeah, because they talked about how some people are in different classes. Yeah. All right. You're right there. I completely forgot about the first Marvel piece of content. That's best.
Let's just say it's just been it's the first piece of Marvel content we've gotten in almost a year, which is accurate.
Yeah. It's been way too long. That's the problem. It feels like it's been forever. But okay. Good call out, Brian. Well, I'm definitely excited. Anything else you guys have to add?
Nope.
Any final thoughts? Well, listener, we definitely want to hear from you. What did you think about the trailers? And also, what are your thoughts on WandaVision's? I would like to hear your crazy theories, so you can just send them right over to me.
And I would like you to keep that shit to yourself.
Yeah, Brian. Well, obviously, as we've talked about, no one talk to Brian, right? Leave Brian alone. He doesn't need
just like high school.
Just funnel it all through me, and then eventually I'll pass a note to Brian during study hall if it's important, okay?
I never got notes in study hall, you kidding?
Welcome, buddy. You got a buddy who's going to give you notes at study hall. Don't you worry.
Aww.
Well, thank you so much, listeners, for making us your walk around your neighborhood, your drive to work, or whatever it is we are in your life right now. Please stay safe, and we will talk to you on the next episode.
Well, welcome to the club, because you are that kind of nerd.
No, I can hear you. I can hear your mouth sounds.
Yeah, Josh will drive to your house to punch you in the face if he hears. Yeah, that's gonna. Oh no, no, I don't think you understand. He's literally hiring a hitman right now.
I'm well aware. I too.
As are a few for listeners.
I too am friends with Josh and know the things that infuriate him.